Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I know. It's the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio, and I do apologize. Sadly, I was under the weather the last few days and unable to do the podcast, but we have returned. I am the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call in and talk to us, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, even though I was under the weather, the blog still did go up over there on Wednesday, so get on over there and check that out. You'll see the next one pop up on Saturday morning, hopefully. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit the link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. You could like that while you're over there. That'd be cool. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan. Well, apparently I get sick, and every big-name free agent decides he wants to sign a contract. What the hell's going on with that?
Yeah, tell me about it. You know, the first one, though, without signing a contract, kind of wanted to touch a little bit on one of the trades. I'm just glad to hear it, glad to see it, so that they could finally shut up about Nick Castellanos. But I was just kind of wondering what you thought about Nomar Mazara going to the White Sox. I like it. I mean, he's still going to bat.
Yeah,
he's 40, but...
I was actually surprised how much negativity it received. It's something the White Sox, you know, apparently need. Everybody's been saying they need an outfield bat.
Yeah.
They trade a prospect, and I get that the dude's got a cool name. I mean, I wish my first name was Steele. But, I looked at his player card, and, I mean, he hasn't done anything that's super outstanding in the minors. You know, I get he's a prospect, but the White Sox have a large amount of you know, these prospects. And, you know, now you get a quality left-handed hitting outfielder who, you know, I mean, he's going to give you 20 bombs. He's a lifetime 261 hitter. And, you know, in the right spot in the batting order, I mean, he's got 100 RBI season to his credit. You get him in the right spot, and, you know, he's going to drive people in. So, you know, I get it. He's not the sexy name that, you know, all the, you know, the experts or the pundits or whoever was mouthing off about this wanted, but I thought it was a good deal for them.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, this is another situation where I think Rick Hahn was smart in that Castellanos is going to get a 2-3 year deal, I'm thinking. Maybe 2 years with a third year player option. And I think it's going to be, because of time with the Cubs, I think he's going to get overpaid, and I think that's a route the White Sox were smart not to roll into. So your thoughts on that, but then also, where do you think they put him, in front of or behind Eloy?
Yeah, you know, it's becoming an interesting lineup. I mean, you've got to figure... You know, somewhere you got 3, 4, 5, 6. You've got Abreu, Grandal, Jimenez, and now Mazara. You got, yeah. You know, you've got to kind of piece out. And then if Luis Robert is actually ready, you know, that could be quite interesting as well to see where he fits in the lineup, but. I wouldn't be surprised to see one of these things where Mazzara bats second in front of, like, Abreu or Grandal. You know, maybe Mazzara second, Grandal third, and then Abreu and Jimenez at, you know, 4 and 5 because, you know, second is the cool spot to hit guys now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I assume Tim Anderson has the leadoff job after winning a batting title, but you never know. I mean, Renteria does do some weird things. So we'll kind of see how that shakes out. But yeah, I'm kind of in the same market as you. Like, Castellanos surprised me with how well he played defensively for the Cubs. But there's, for the White Sox to sign him, there's no real DH relief with this team now because of Abreu and Grandal. You don't want Grandal catching 130 games, and you brought James McCann back for a reason. And then you don't want to Abreu out at first base for 130 games either. And Grandal can play some first base, and I believe McCann has played a little as well. So you have a nice kind of three-man rotation there with these positions. Once you add Castellanos again, like you said, on a multiple-year deal, you become stuck. And then what do you do? You've now backed up all these prospects. And, we've seen this happen with the Cubs. Remember, at one point in time, obviously Anthony Rizzo is at first base for as long as he wants to stay with the Cubs. But that meant they had to deal Justin Bour and Dan Vogelbach, who are quality major league first basemen. Now, they're not Rizzo quality, and they're not superstars, but they're good major league players. Why do the White Sox pencil Castellanos in for, say, it's 3 with an option, and you're looking at being committed to this guy for 4 years, you tell all your other prospects, oh, well, too bad, so sad, you guys sit there while this guy's contract runs out. And, by all means of it, they have some prospects that are supposed to be top quality major league players. So it just didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, so I mean, go ahead.
No, well, then you look at it from this point. Mazzara's 24. They're projecting to make about $6 million this year in arbitration. The one thing the White Sox really need is a starting pitcher. So instead of blowing all your money on Grandal and Castellanos, you get a cheaper outfield option who allows you to go talk to a Madison Bumgarner or a Dallas Keuchel or, even a Hyunjin Ryu if that's the way you're looking. You have some money to play with here. And I don't know, again, I don't understand why everybody was so down on this signing.
Because it wasn't what they wanted.
Yeah, I just heard people killing them. Oh, what are they doing? They gave up this young prospect for just, because I thought Mazzara was a lot older because he's been in the majors for, 4 or 5 years. But then, now that you realize he's just 24, it's not like they dumped a prospect for a 36-year-old veteran outfielder.
Yeah, and it looks like, I'm assuming this is anticipated. I'm not too sure if this is secured. His arbitration year 2020 is $5.7 million, and then depending on how things work out, I'm assuming that money won't double. But he's arbitration year 3 next year, so you're still looking at a guy that's going to play your outfield that you're not locked into, who should be only around $6 or $7 million. Maybe 7-8.
Right.
So, like you said, while you kind of, get your prospects ready to come up to play that position. So I don't think it's a bad move at all, especially when you look at, what's his name that used to play right field for the White Sox who went down to Tampa. I mean, I know he's 10, 12, 13 million a year.
Yeah.
I don't know why I can't think of his name now.
Avisail Garcia.
Yeah, how can I forget that? So, you know, I don't think it's
that. He had a very forgettable career with the White Sox. He was really good for Tampa last year, though.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a young guy for at least 2 years, and I was way off because Avisail only got $3.5 million.
Well, he's on the free agent market, so he may make a little more. So.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, you know, I think it's a good – it's a smart move. And, you know, the problem with all the experts and NBC Sports Chicago is they just – they want everything to be a big splash. And, I mean, let's not forget in 2014 when the White Sox made that free agent signing splash, what did they do after that? Nothing. Nothing happened for that team. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, that and what everybody's got to realize, too, is they added a left-handed bat. You know, the lineup is very right-handed friendly. So to be able to plug in a quality left-handed bat like that, you know, it makes a big deal. Like, it was weird because I heard somebody actually say that instead of giving away a prospect, they should have just went out and signed Curtis Granderson, who's pushing 40. Do you really think Granderson would have the kind of year Mazzara would have at playing full time?
No, and he's not even a full time player anymore.
Right. So I mean, the kind of stupidity that comes with this, you know, just makes me batty. And now, you know, as long as they can follow this up, and we'll see a Madison Bumgarner get signed, or a Dallas Keuchel, or, you know, maybe they're in the market for, you know, one of the Japanese starters that have been posted. I know there's been, you know, positive talk on some of those guys, even though I think the one is he 30? He's 31, so he's not that old. But, you know, there are some guys out there. You know, obviously my choice is I want to see them go get Bumgarner. I want to see them go get him right now, but that's just me. So I think, you know, they're headed in the right direction, and they're not, you know, like if, I would say, you know, if they were one hitter away from the World Series, okay, go get Castellanos and plug him in the lineup. But I don't think either of us are under the impression that the White Sox are going to the World Series next year, are we?
No.
But yeah, that's, you know, like I said, that was the thing that just kind of baffled me, was why everybody was so down on it.
No, I mean, like I said, I thought it was a good one. I don't know if you want to go into the signings or into a trade that leads to a signing.
Actually, what I wanted to tell you first is I'm under the impression that you missed your calling, because, you know, I'm looking at these signings that have taken place, and I realize that Scott Boras has signed players to about $900 million in contracts, and as an agent, mm-hmm. he gets what, minimum 10%?
Yeah.
So he's cashing some healthy paychecks just being able to negotiate contracts, huh? I think you missed the boat on what you should be doing.
Oh, yeah, big time. So, I mean, let's get into this trade real quick just so we could segue into the first signing that I guess we could talk about, because I think it's a good one. The Los Angeles Angels traded Zach Cozart and third base Will Wilson to the
yep.
Giants for a player to be named later, which I don't even think they care who they get later, because they ended up signing Anthony Rendon.
Not to cut you off, it's been announced that player is a left-hander, Garrett Williams. That was just announced. So.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if you were able to peruse the blog after I posted it, but yeah, I believe I mentioned this trade And I basically figured the Angels had something brewing with Rendon when they moved Cozart. Otherwise, they wouldn't have a third baseman. So I kind of figured something was up. I am more interested in what the Giants are going to do with him because, you know, they're kind of locked in with Evan Longoria. Now, Cozart has played some short, but obviously Brandon Crawford is there. So my guess is he moves to second, and then the Giants have a prospect. Here's his name. Mauricio Dubon. So I'm guessing there's some kind of mix with Cozart as a utility guy. You know, of course, the big thing is the fact that he needs to stay healthy. You know, after having a fantastic year with Cincinnati in, you know, what was it, 2017, it seems like this happens to the Angels a lot. They paid him a lot of money, and he played 58 games in 2018 and just 38 games last year because of injury. So, obviously, he needs to be healthy first before the Giants worry about where he's actually going to play. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, this was just kind of the clear space for Rendon, right? I mean, they weren't really interested in probably getting much back.
No, I don't think so. I think it was just too just to get him over.
Yeah, and, you know, and I guess, you know, when you're the Angels, it's always a good thing to get a pitcher back. But we're looking at a guy, you know, Williams is 20. He'll be 25. He spent all of last year in Double A. He started 20 games, pitched in 29. He had a 3.60 ERA, so it was solid. 7-8 record, but again, you know, we're not too concerned about that. But, you know, in 29 games, and with 20 of them being starts, Dan, it's so weird because he only threw 110 innings. So even if they were just starts, that's barely over 5 innings per start. So I'm guessing he was really pitch counted or inning managed or whatever the heck they were doing with him because that's a low inning total. So, you know, but being, you know, of course, being left-handed, you know, maybe there's a spot in the bullpen down the road for him if he can develop. You know, I know the prospect in return the Giants got, I believe, was a shortstop. But, yeah, he's, you know, it's another one of these deals where he only played in rookie league last year, so we're talking about a guy who is, you know, a long, long way from us ever seeing him. He is 21 unless they kind of rush him. But yeah, I don't know, you know, from the Giants end, what are you thinking of this deal?
I think it's all right, but I think it, like you said, it kind of log jams the infield and you've got to look to make a move to get rid of somebody. You know, will Longoria be the guy that you could get something in return for?
Yeah, well, you know, I know they were interested in moving Longoria. You know, the problem is there's just a lot left on that contract. So, you know, and then, you know, the other team, Dan, I saw kind of getting crapped on was the Mets. Now, you know, they've made two signings. You know, they picked up Michael Wacha, and they added Rick Porcello today. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, you're adding these guys to DeGrom and Syndergaard, and while, you know, neither of these guys are replacements for Zach Wheeler, you know, I don't think these were terrible signings. You know, I believe Porcello was a Cy Young Award winner, you know, for the Red Sox one year. I think he won 20 or 21 games, and they're getting him on just a one-year, $10 million kind of, you know, prove-it deal because he had a down year last year like every single other Red Sox starter. You know, and Walker is that guy who, you know, everybody thought was going to be a star. You know, he had number one starter written all over him. And, you know, being with the Cardinals, everybody thought, oh, yeah, this guy is going to be it. He had that breakout year in 2015. You know, and ever since then, I think he's had one fully, completely healthy season. So maybe a change of scenery helps both of these guys. And, you know, I mean, they're not, you know, when you're looking at them as 3 and 4, I mean, these aren't bad 3 and 4 starters in baseball. Why, again, why is everybody hating on this deal? Because the Yankees got Gerrit Cole and the Mets are just the second New York team?
Pretty much. But I mean, but if you think about it, you know, today's expectations are at minimum 1 through 8 should all be, you know, 30 plus home run guys. Or forget about batting average. You know, they should all be 30 plus home run guys. So, you know, your pitching staff, oh my God, your pitching staff should be, you know, at least 1 through 4 should all be aces.
And then, you know, I realized I kind of glossed right over it because we got into it. I forgot to ask you, do you like the Rendon deal? 7 years, $245 million. He's going to get $36 million a year to protect Mike Trout?
I mean, I think it's a good move for them to make. They short up their batting order. Me personally, I still don't like the anticipated lineup with, you know, Fletcher and LaStella combo at number one with Trout 2, Rendon 3. I still think Trout should be third with Rendon 4th and, you know, move it down the line. But, you know, that's never going to happen anymore. But, you know, they are kind of looks like they're going with a 6-man rotation because technically Shohei's your wild card. So I think it's good. You know, you've got Upton, Rendon, Pujols definitely locked for the next 3 years altogether. That's a good move. You know, that's solid for you in that retrospect. But now who are you even going to sign at pitching? Do you just throw in the towel and give up?
Yeah, well, you know, that's obviously their next question. You know, can they get a – you know, because they were in on Cole, but apparently they weren't willing to go over $300 million. So they lost out there. You know, I mean, I'm sure they had conversations with Strasburg, but I'm really not surprised he went back to Washington. I kind of expected that. So, you know, I mean, again, you know, Bumgarner is still out there, and I'm still kind of baffled as to why everybody has him so downgraded. You know, I mean, I was shocked that people had Zach Wheeler ahead of him, and there was no way I was paying Wheeler before I was paying Bumgarner. But, you know, I mean, if they could, you know, I think they need two guys now. They've got to land Bumgarner, Ryu, or who's the third guy? I'm drawing a blank on that. I mentioned his name earlier. Oh, Dallas Keuchel. I think they've got to land two of those three guys to be competitive. One isn't going to do it because you're not going to out-hit everybody every day.
No.
So I think you need two guys to pair with Heaney and then hope you can piece together the rest of the rotation. Right?
Yeah, Heaney's it doesn't look like...
He died?
Always gets hurt. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I forgot about. So... No wonder I'm so confused when I was looking at that. Because, you know, CBS MLB apparently didn't get the death certificate because they still have him listed as number one.
Yeah. Or they just didn't bother to update everything after, you know, after that happened, even though it did happen, mid-season. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this article was only written 6 hours ago.
Oh, jeez. So, yeah, you know, and it does become interesting because, you know, you know, you're looking at the Astros, who obviously just lost a really valuable piece in Gerrit Cole. So, you know, while they're weaker, you know, and don't forget, I did just notice this looking it up. The Angels did pick up Dylan Bundy. And I know that he didn't do much with Baltimore, but this is a guy who, you know, a lot of people thought was going to turn into a really good pitcher, but he ended up on some bad Baltimore teams. So, yeah, I know I heard some rumors that they're in the David Price market, but, man, I don't know if that's the right move to make. Do you?
I don't think so. I mean, who are you trading over there for him? And, you know, I mean, it's almost like a throwaway. Is he going to get hurt again?
So,
how long is he going to pitch for you?
Yeah, you know, that's always the tough question. You know, the tough question. You know, in reality, we're also talking about a team that really doesn't have a closer. You know, I know Robles did some closing for him last year, but is he going to be the guy? And I mean, you're looking at the names in the pen here, and you know, none of these really jump out at you. So there's a lot, and I mean a lot of pitching questions to go with. You know, with this Angel team, and obviously. You know, the Rendon signing is fantastic. It's a great move for them. But I just don't know if, you know,
it's
even
enough.
With that, if there's enough here, yeah, if there's going to be enough pitching to get this team, you know, get this team anywhere. And then, you know, they're, you know, you're looking at a catching combination of Max Stassi and Anthony Benboom. So, there, you know, there's still some holes in the lineup. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, I do find it weird here. I'm looking at their projected lineup, and this projected lineup actually has Tommy La Stella at first base and Albert Pujols on the bench. So. You know, just one of those, you know, one of those fun, fun things that I guess it's their opinion that that's what they think they should do. So there you go. Oh, that's what I wanted to see what the, since we talked about the Mets there, I wanted to see what they had as their projected rotation now that they've made their couple of signings here. So, because that kind of interested me. All right. Oh, you got it. Oh, holy cow. I forgot all about this. This will be really interesting because Mets have, you know, obviously the Brown and Syndergaard. I kind of blanked on the fact that they acquired Marcus Stroman last year. They still have
Ooh,
some mods. They're starting pitchers. So yeah, this is a pretty good rotation. You know, I guess we'll just have to figure out again, you know, if it's a team that can get enough to win.
Well, I mean, you know, aside, you know, standing lineup aside, how well do you think they match up against the Nationals now that they lost, you know, a key batter on their team, and then really the Braves and Phillies?
Yeah. So, yeah, I Yeah, it's kind of, that's even more interesting to me that they went out and got two starters. Maybe they've got a trade in the works. You know, maybe they'll finally deal Syndergaard.
Anything possible.
I guess that would be one solution to a, unless they're going to redefine the game and go with six starters, or maybe they'll start walking in the bullpen, you know, just depending on how healthy he is or what they think, is going to kind of happen with him. But yeah, I that was kind of surprising.
I don't think it hurts to have a starter come out of the bullpen.
No, it's always nice to have those, especially in today's game, to have a long guy like that who can, who can come in and give you innings. I guess the question is Walker, is he versatile enough to do it with his injury history?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, especially since the middle relief / the long relief guys have been eliminated from Major League Baseball.
Yeah. Oh, but then, we haven't brought it up yet, but how are you, I'm kind of guessing I know where you're at this, but how are you feeling about 9 years and $324 million?
You say 9 years?
Yes.
How old is he?
Garrett Cole had 9 years and $324 million.
Do you think in the last year or two they'll be able to do what they did to Jacoby Ellsbury?
You think he's going to get hurt?
No, I just mean where they're like, we're not going to pay you. See ya.
Yeah. So, and it does, it obviously, no surprise, it has a full no trade clause. But interestingly, it does have an opt-out clause, but not till the fifth year.
And how old is he again? He's what? 30?
He's 28? 20. I think he's 20 something. Let me double check it while we're talking about it here. He's 29. He won't be 30 till September, so.
Oh. I mean, if you can get him to last through his 37, 38 years of the contract, I think that'll be something, but I mean, for the foreseeing future, the Yankees want to win. They need to win. There's nothing around it. For the team they've put together, especially these last two seasons. I mean, hell, let's go back to 2016. 2017, 18, 19, the last three seasons. I mean, this is a team that's definitely destined to win. They need to win for what they put together. And I mean, let's be honest, he's the highest paid player on the team now, and you really don't have a contract like that on that team anymore. I'm a little surprised, I thought they were done with kind of throwing away contracts like that.
So they do still have Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, but they didn't make it. They traded for it.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't make the signing. They're just paying him now, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not the A-Rod signing where he's going to be, 40 years old, hanging out down in Miami playing for the Marlins where the Yankees play for him. Stanton's still pretty young, so, he won't even, he'll be like mid-30s when his contract expires?
Yeah, something like that, so.
So, I think it's great because you have the ace. Now you put him in front of Severino and, the rest goes down the line. And with that lineup, I think I'm picking them again for 2020. They were so close, Big Jack. So close. And I think Gerrit Cole made the difference in why they didn't win or get to the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, and again, it kind of cuts both ways because not only do they add an ace and a big-time top-of-the-rotation guy, but they take that away from the team that just beat them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and again, I don't know who puts these in order on rosterresource.com, but they actually have Luis Severino as the Yankees' number four starter. So, obviously, they're way off here, but they have it Cole, Paxton, Tanaka, Severino, and then J.A. Hop. So... you know, I don't believe that will end up being correct, but you know, we'll see. And then, you know, the other thing is eventually they're gonna get Domingo Germán back. So, you know, my guess is he'll probably plug into the bullpen unless Hop is having trouble, then maybe he'll take his spot in the rotation. But you know, Germán was rolling along there until he caught the suspension.
Yeah. Well, and don't forget the I forgot number three guy for the pen, but, you know, number three, and then you have Betances and Aroldis Chapman.
Well, no, Betances,
you know, who are
a free agent.
Oh, he is. Damn.
But, yeah, obviously, you know, you got Chapman, then Zach Britton, and Adam Ottavino to go with Tommy Kahnle. That's a pretty solid four to come out of the bullpen with.
Oh yeah,
you know, then you know they'll get Miguel Andujar back from injury. It's gonna be a pretty stacked team. They did just re-sign Brett Gardner. You know, they will miss Aaron Hicks, of course. He had Tommy John. He'll be gone for the entire season. But that should open up some playing time for your guy Clint Frazier. We may actually get to see him play a little more regularly here. it's built for the Yankees to win it. I don't know. You know, I would say the only problem would be injuries, but they had all of them last year, so you can't figure they're going to run into all of those injuries again. So, yeah, I don't know, you know, how right now they're not front and center as the World Series favorite.
I don't follow Vegas, so I don't know what their predictions are.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything. But, yeah, I mean, I would think that, you know, they had got to be up here. And then, you know, Dan, again, you know, so I could do a little face rubbing, Where's Gerrit Cole from, Dan, and where was he supposed to sign?
Well, he was supposed to go sign with Joe Maddon because he's from Southern California.
Right. Now, I didn't major in geography or anything, Dan, but the last time I checked, the Yankees don't play in California, right?
No. They play in the ultra-cool climate of New York City.
Yeah, not only don't they play in California, they're way on the other side of the country from California. But, Dana, I don't understand. His family lives in, you know, he's from California and his family lives there, and he's supposed to go back and sign in California. Why didn't this happen?
Because of the money.
I want you to give me 324 million reasons why it didn't happen, Dan. That's what I want you to give me. All right. So.
I'll be right back.
But then you. Oh, okay. So, you know, we'll see. Obviously there were some other signings. We'll save the Strasburg talk till Dan rolls back in. You know, it looks like the Tigers are going to ink Austin Romine to a deal. The Dodgers have signed Blake Treinen, so they'll try to straighten him out. The Blue Jays added Tanner Roark to their rotation. The Rockies have extended Scott Oberg. I thought I saw 3 years at $13 million. And then the Brewers make a, you know, they make a strike here, and this is very Brewer-like. They've signed Josh Lindblom. Let's see what it says. It's 3 years on a deal that can max out at $18 million. Now, if the name might sound familiar to you, because at one point in time he was a prospect in the Pirates organization. He bounced around quite a bit. He spent a little time with the Dodgers, a little time with the Phillies, a little time with the Rangers, and then a little time with the A's, a little time with the Pirates before he took off and headed to Korea. In his major league career, in those 5 years he did whatever, he was 5-8 with a 4.10 ERA. He did pitch in 114 games. Six of those were starts, and he picked up one save. He headed over to Korea these last few years. Let me grab his numbers from there, and we'll see what he did there. Starting in 2017, now he was a starter in Korea. So here you go. Now, just last year for Doosan, he made 30 starts. He went 20-3 with a 2.64 ERA over 194 and two-thirds innings. The year before that for Doosan, he was 15-4 in 26 starts with a 2.88 ERA. So his numbers obviously really greatly improved in Korea. And it was kind of weird because he spent 15-16 in Korea before coming back to the Pirates, where he really struggled. He made four appearances for the Pirates at the major league level and at a 7.84 ERA. They sent him to AAA, and he even struggled there. He made 17 appearances with a 4.06 ERA. He headed back to Korea, and like I said, I mean, the numbers have just been astounding. But you've got to wonder, you know, what they're getting here, you know, overall. I mean, are you getting somewhere close to the pitcher that he was in Korea, or are you going to get closer to the guy who really struggled at, you know, the major league, you know, at the major league level? So we'll, you know, obviously we'll kind of have to wait and see, but you know, the Brewers had good luck, you know, when they signed Eric Thames, who spent some time in, you know, in the Korean league. But of course, you know, there's always a difference between pitchers and hitters. And again, obviously, you know, they're not bringing him in to be the ace of the staff or anything like that. And, you know, the Brewers are on top of managing innings, so that shouldn't be a problem for him either. I just don't know. I mean, I know it's not a ton of cash. They didn't have to do anything like that to get him here. You know, they needed to do something, you know, so we'll kind of see. And it does look like they're penciling him in here as just their number five. You know, it's Brandon Woodruff, Adrian Hauser, Freddie Peralta. Looks like he's going to get a shot at the rotation finally. Then Eric Lauer, who they got in the San Diego trade, and then Lindblom falls in at five. You know, they do have Jake Faria, who had a little success as a starter in Tampa Bay, if that's needed. You know, the odder thing that kind of baffles me with the Brewers, and I'm really interested to know why this seems to be coming up so much. And, you know, the old saying, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. It seems like Josh Hader, you know, is on his way out. And I don't know or kind of understand why they seem to think they need to get out from under Hader at this point. You know, and I do know they should get Corey Knebel back. But, you know, other than that, I mean, unless they've got a somebody else hanging on the bullpen that's going to close. I don't see the urgency to move Hader, but you know, there's been multiple teams that are allegedly in on him, and oddly, I know the Yankees apparently have even kicked the tires, so imagine if they add Hader to a bullpen that has Chapman, Britton, Ottavino, and Kingley. I mean, that would be nuts. But I don't know the Brewers why they seem to be in a hurry to move on from him, unless he's getting close to the end of his run and he's coming up for arbitration.
Well, I mean, if they want to throw him to a team that's going to overuse him, you know, the Angels need some bullpen help, right?
Yeah. So I'm trying to get his see if I can find his contract info here. Yeah, this is his last year of RNO. He's got plenty of arbitration left. He's got three more years of arbitration after this. He's only projected to make $4.6 million this year. So I don't know the rush to move a guy who, you know, clearly they've overused, but is still a quality closer. You know, and I was talking about Josh Lindblom. His salary is just a shade over $3 million for 3 years. It's the incentives in his contract that would get the deal up to $18 million. So we'll see. But, you know, I waited for you to roll back here, Dan, before we go with Steven Strasburg going to the Nationals. Now, this was no surprise to me, even though I know, you know, there was some stuff, of course, we heard the Padres weren't going to be interested because he's from San Diego. We heard all the BS.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't think this was an option, Dan. I just believe he was going back to Washington as long as the money was right. Were you in there, or did you think there was a chance he'd land somewhere else?
I didn't think he was moving anywhere, especially, you know, with the purchase of the home in the greater Washington area, all that good stuff, and I mean, let's be honest, how good Washington's been to him. And he's really, you know, Bryce Harper came up as their number one for that year. But I think he was definitely overhyped by the media and everyone surrounding. So I think, you know, he's really truly come into being the guy he's supposed to be. And I think he's going to lead this team again next year.
Yeah, you know, humorously, he got 7 years at $245 million. There was a report out there that the White Sox actually offered 7 years at $246. So I thought that was kind of funny that it was just $1 million more for a seven-year deal. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. But
price is right.
You know, yeah, obviously, you know, they get him locked up, and, you know, now they're going to have to fix the rest of it as defending champs. I mean, obviously, Rendon is going to be a big loss, but, you know, that opens up the other options of can they afford to go out and get a Josh Donaldson, or are they possibly the team, along with the Rangers? Like I heard today, the Rangers aren't interested in Josh Donaldson. They wanted Anthony Rendon to be front and center, the guy they built around. You know, there's one other third baseman out there with a name, Dan, that's been hugely talked about. You know, this Chris Bryant market is going to heat up, especially once Donaldson comes off the board. Possibility he lands in Washington?
I think it's a strong possibility. It would be very interesting to see him playing over there.
So, and, they have some interesting ranked prospects. You know, they have a couple middle infielders that are, you know, ranked pretty high, and, you know, a couple outfielders that are just outside the top 10. You know, I don't know if that's what the Cubs are looking for in a deal for Bryant. You know, obviously nobody's really said anything. So, you know, I guess it's possible it could kind of go that route, but you know, they're going to have to do something. Right now it's Carter Kieboom listed as their starting third baseman, and he is their number one prospect. Excuse me, number two.
I think that the challenge with trying to trade for Bryant, though, is, you know, do you open the talks of the team and then try to negotiate, get the permission so that you're not getting, you know, get in trouble to negotiate with Scott Boras. He is a Boras client, right? Yeah.
Yes.
You know, to be able to negotiate with Boras also, because if you're going to give up, you know, what you gave up to get Adam Eaton, or, you know, maybe even more, deplete your farm system. I mean, I'm not doing that for 2 years. I don't think that's worth it. So I think that's where the biggest trouble comes in.
You know, and then depending on how that grievance hearing goes, it could be 1 year. You know, Brian is still waiting for a decision on his service time. So,
I thought that was over with.
No, I saw last week that they're still waiting to decide. So, you know, if you're going to get him for just 1 year, you know, you're not going to get a big return.
No, and I mean, that's where you get shot in the foot if you're a Theo.
Yeah. So, yeah, that, you know, but, yeah, you've got to figure, you know, as soon as Donaldson comes off the board, you know, and I haven't heard much about him lately. Everybody kind of thought that the teams that didn't land, Rendon would be interested, but, you know, maybe the Nationals have some interest, and I know the Braves have expressed interest in bringing him back, but like I said, the Rangers are out. Maybe they reach out and target Chris Bryant. And then you got to figure the Nationals or the Braves could be in, depending on if either of them land Donaldson. But, yeah, I'm just kind of waiting for that market to heat up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in 2 years is pretty serviceable. I mean, if you're willing to throw that all out there and try to go after two more rings and possibly get it, which would be very interesting to see them go up against the Yankees in a World Series with the team they're putting together. But, you know, if it's 1 year, do you even really try to make that trade?
No, I don't think I do. I'm not interested at all in having Chris Bryant for 1 year. But there was another interesting thing that popped up at the winter meetings, Dan, is I guess Nolan Arenado's name has been bandied about. Now, you know, he just started a gigantic contract. I think he played the first year of an eight years, $260 million contract. You know, is it possible that, and I don't know if Washington could carry another deal like that, but Texas clearly could.
Maybe was that roughly like $30 million a year somewhere in there?
Yeah, $30-35 million. You know, do you see him as maybe an option for the Rangers? Or, of course, the Phillies, really stupid money.
Yeah. That would be a great option for the Phillies. I think I would like it for the Rangers. You know, the talk always is when a team gets a new stadium that, you know, to help bring in that revenue is to bring a name in, right?
Yeah.
Even though that adds to your overall cost.
Yeah, and that's what the Rangers wanted with Rendon. They wanted him to be the guy they could plug in and kind of say, hey, here's the face of our ball club. You know, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to start building around this guy. So, yeah, that could be – could be quite interesting to see a guy like him get moved, especially, well, I guess if you're a team, you would rather have him earlier in the contract than later, right?
Oh, yeah. And then you can send him back to Colorado in those last 2 years.
Yeah. Well, here, take this guy back, please. So, you know, just one of those things. But, and, you know, I did want to kind of ask you, are you much happier this year as I am that there's actually movement and we have stuff to talk about instead of just wondering when Harper and Manny Machado are going to sign somewhere?
You know, I'm wondering who learned, you know, which side of the scale was, you know, more persuaded. You know, and that's kind of where it makes you wonder, like, is it the teams? But, I mean, the problem with the Manny and Bryce Harper is I don't care, you know, I still think they're just overpaid for what they're expected to do. I mean, I guess that remains to be seen with Cole, but, I mean, over the last two seasons, I mean, this guy's proven. He's proven it. You know, where you look at Bryce Harper and he got the big deal to go play in Philly on a team left a team that should have won a World Series. But, I mean, from us, the four of us, the Nationals were getting picked to win the World Series since 2013. You know, kind of consistently between the four of us. And they didn't win. The guy leaves and they win, you know. So it's, you know, at least he got to win that home run derby championship in Washington, right?
Yeah. So.
But, I mean, I don't know. I think, to be honest, with those two last year, it was moves that, you know, teams didn't really want to make that commitment to. And, you know, the problem last year was, you know, Manny's agency got all uptight because the White Sox deal was released when it shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, when that's all you're getting offered is player incentive contracts, what does that really say about your player?
So, yeah, and then I don't know if you caught this BS or anything, but Major League Baseball apparently released what they called an independent study on the spike in home runs. And they basically blame it on the height of the seams on the baseball, as well as the hitters attempting to hit more home runs because of the focus on launch angle and exit velocity. Now, I believe the second part for an uptick in home runs, because it does seem like more players are trying to hit home runs. The ball was juiced, and I know they can't come out and say that. The ball was juiced. It was set up so there would be more home runs. We're not stupid. I just thought that was just incredibly hilarious. It was like, well, you know, the seam height on the ball was, you know...
Yeah, because the poor gentlemen and ladies and hopefully no children that were hand sewing these balls down in the Caribbean were like, oh, well, if I do it this way, of course they don't speak like that, if I do it this way, there's going to be more home runs.
Yeah, I just kind of chuckled. I think so far everybody I've seen who's reported on that has had a good laugh as well. But, you know, I guess they had to come up with something. Twitter as well if you'd like to do that. As always, please stop by and listen to us live. But if you did,